All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And those of you who are waiting on the line, you're going to have to call us after my next guest. My next guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Hey, Dr. Craig, how are you doing, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing good. Been a couple weeks. I guess 3 weeks. So how you been?
I'm doing fine, but I have to begin by asking you about the debate with the Senate candidates and the fact that Mandela Barnes is being excoriated by conservative talk radio for telling the truth about the history of the nation. I mean, Dan Bice, even, for heaven's sakes, as if Mandela somehow, you know, created a lie.
Yeah, Dan Bice was calling me repeatedly on Wednesday because he wanted permission. The Journal Sentinel lawyers were telling him he needed permission to use a segment of our debate we had among the primary candidates in November, where Mandela made his most extensive statement. And I decided not to provide permission. He it's going to provide more clickbait. I do believe if one watched the 2 minutes I think the lawyers must have changed their mind because it's in there anyway in Dan Bice's story. But if you watch it, you'll be impressed, actually. But the problem is, the fallen state of Wisconsin and American politics is such that that's not how it's going to play out. Most people are going to hear lies on right-wing radio and then 30-second spots from Doc Money groups that completely mischaracterize Mandela said and say that he hates the country, thought its founding was awful. That's the language you'll hear. No, he thought slavery was awful when the country was founded. Is that a debatable point? I don't think so, Earl. And how great a country is it that we won't face up to our own history? In other words, it's not great countries that paper over their history. It's great countries that face their history, right? Germany is a much better country now than it used to be because it is to some degree faced what it did in the 1930s and the 1940s. And what would we think of it if they were in denial? Same with Japan. And so that is the problem here, that the right has created a definition of patriotism that says it's patriotic to paper over American history, not teach it to our kids. And any candidate who steps outside the line, especially an African-American candidate, and is authentic and honest is punished. And I told Dan Bice that. I go, you're going to make it so no candidate ever does anything but read talking points at you and the public will hear nothing because you say the slightest authentic thing that's real, and you'll be excoriated, and then what the right is trying to do is they're trying to disqualify Mandela from the U.S. Senate race, just the way they tried to disqualify Barack Obama for the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, his pastor, and things that Jeremiah Wright had said, and make Obama into some sort of completely hopeless radical that couldn't possibly be president.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was really disappointed in Dan Bice. I don't think I've ever seen him kowtow to that kind of journalism before. One of the things that I used to say about him was that he's willing to stand up and not be bullied. But in this instance, he went right there.
And here's why I think it's going on. Because, look, Dan's model, and he used to be Spivak Advice, as you
right,
remember.
Right, I remember Spivak Advice.
It's a political kind of gotcha column, almost a gossip column, but it's gossip where they're journalists, so where there's actually some sort of hook to it. It's not made up. It's not people are saying kind of, you know, some people say like Fox News or anything like that. But that model, the reason Dan Bice is still at a newspaper like the Journal Sentinel, which is owned by Gannett, is because the way corporate media has evolved, the way newspapers have survived, is that they have figured out in the social media age, they were at risk of complete annihilation initially because their content was being looked at in social media, but people weren't paying for it, and therefore the people who were making money, Facebook, Twitter, etc., weren't paying for the journalism, right? And these companies were in desperate straits, including places like the New York Times and Washington Post. And the New York Times and Washington Post started this model. If they could create a paywall and then create a product that was appealing enough that people would pay, then they could survive and pay for their content. And not only that, pay for corporate profits, Wall Street dividends, et cetera. And so what we're just like in social media, though, everything is about clicks, and reporters are rewarded and kept or not kept based on how many clicks they create. And that's what the incentive in Dan Bice's world is. He knows that if he does an article about what Mandela Barnes said about American history and race, that a lot of people will click on it.
Right.
And that's what what Gannett wants. And that's, frankly, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, they were all functioning on that model. And so there is social media model, which is bad enough, has also become a new newspaper model for-profit media. That's what you do not see in nonprofit media, like Wisconsin Public Radio, WWM, or Wisconsin Examiner, or Up North News. In other words, they don't have the same incentive system. They actually get alternative funding. Urban Milwaukee, for example, they're not dependent on how many clicks they get and how pleasing a corporate paymaster.
You know, Dr. Craig, it he does this at a time that it's throwing raw meat to Republicans, at a time, you know, when Mandela Barnes is the number one candidate or the number one guy in the primary and has been. And so this, he gets out ahead, and like, you know, Republicans are eating that up. And so conservative talk radio is all over it, and they're putting it out there. And I'm just like, you know, Dan O'Donnell and that kind of thing, and they're just attacking Mandela. And yes, there are enough people who are going to buy into that. I just didn't think that Dan Bice would do it, but he did it anyway. And you explain the reasons why.
And I think, Earl, you and I have been tracking Dan O'Donnell since he came
yes.
onto the scene.
I know what he is.
Show, and he is a malevolent force, and he is there, paid for by a major corporation, right? iHeart is his employer, a national radio chain that is, you know, Wall Street traded. He, his job, he's paid full time, is to find red meat to advance, essentially, the fascist agenda of the Trump wing of the party, and he wants to take down Mandela Barnes. Another way to view this is, since we have a very active primary with four strong candidates in the Democratic primary, a fifth, Stephen Olicaro, is running hard but probably doesn't have the resources to actually win the race, that it's interesting that they're attacking Mandela this way. It suggests they're afraid of Mandela, which is, in other words, that they would rather have one of the other candidates.
Right,
because
right.
Otherwise, you're quiet during a primary and you save it for the general, right? But they didn't do that. So that tells me, so all of those, and I hear this sometimes from white folks saying that they won't, but that Mandela isn't as good a candidate in a general election because he won't appeal to all, because most of the rest of the state outside southeast Wisconsin and parts of Madison and obviously Racine is white, predominantly white, I mean supermajority white,
right,
that they won't vote for a black man. The only person who's won races overwhelmingly in this state, really, other than Tammy Baldwin, is Barack Obama twice, okay? So there was certainly that. So Barack Obama discounts that, and I actually think that since turnout is everything now, not swing voters, that you need a Mandela Barnes to inspire young people of color to vote because they're not given enough of a reason to vote by mainline Democrats, and to inspire a lot of white young people who actually are far more progressive on race. And there's a chance they won't vote, and we know that the right is going to vote, that Dan O'Donnell and company and millions of dark money ads and sleazy ads from Ron Johnson are going to supercharge their base, and they're turning out. The question is whether we can inspire our base, and I think the reason the Republicans are worried is Mandela is the best candidate to inspire our base and to match their turnout and therefore win in November.
So, Dr. Craig, what other things? I mean, clearly we're at the point where you know, in the twinkling of an eye, it's election time. The Dropbox situation that's going to be critical to this election in November, and also the upcoming election. What do you expect from the ruling of the United States Supreme Court on the Dropbox issue?
Well, frankly, we're at this point, the only way to save democracy is to fight through the voter suppression and win elections anyway, and then create a democracy where we have where voting is as easy as possible. What kind of democracy is it that makes voting harder deliberately for political benefit, right? What are we going to do? We're eventually going to say that everyone has to come to one polling place between 2 hours and they can't vote so we can save the democracy, right? Assuming as long as that cuts the way of Republicans, they would they'd love that kind of reform. There's no stopping point here. And so there's nothing we can do about the fact that the right wing, at the moment, we can in the future, that the right wing had a successful strategy of taking over, packing the courts. Don't believe people when they say that expanding the Supreme Court, which is completely allowable under the Constitution, there's no number of Supreme Court justices stated, and they've had a lot of different numbers in American history, that's court packing. Court packing is what the Republicans have essentially done without winning elections. I mean, they, Earl, have lost. They've only won one national popular vote for president since 1989, actually. And it was 88 was the second one. And they yet have been able to pack the U.S. Supreme Court, not just with Republicans, but with far-right Republicans who will always support their agenda and do things that have nothing to do with
Dr.
the
Craig,
Constitution.
Dr. Craig,
So, Sandy, Dr. Craig, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.